Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Hypable's Once Upon a Time podcast. It's been a long time since we've talked to you guys, since the mid-season finale, but we have a big news roundup today in preparation for next week's new episodes of Once Upon a Time and Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. I'm Jen, and I'm joined by Karen and Kristen. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
So let's start off with Once Upon a Time, because I think everyone is really just dying to know what's going to happen now that that mid-season finale kind of left us on a with a huge cliffhanger of what happened to everybody. So just to recap really quickly the mid-season finale, we were dealing with Peter Pan still, and he enacts a curse on Storybrooke that cannot be changed. So in order to save the town, Regina tells the others that she put a failsafe in the original curse so she can send them all back to the Enchanted Forest or wherever they came from. However, this is only allowed for those who originally came from the Enchanted Forest, which means that Henry would have to be left behind. So in order to make that work, Regina tells Emma that she has to stay behind as well. So Emma's now separated from the parents that she only just started to get comfortable with, and she needs to stay and be Henry's mother. So Regina changes Emma's memories because she won't remember any of them. But what she does do is leave her with good memories, of happy memories of Henry growing up with her. And also in this episode, we see Peter Pan is defeated by Rumpelstiltskin, but in order to do that, Rumpelstiltskin has to die. So as of right now, as far as we know, Rumpelstiltskin is dead. Emma is sent to New York City to live with Henry and to have no recollection of anything to do with the Enchanted Forest, as well as Henry has no recollection either. But at the very end of the episode, it comes up on the screen and it's 1 year later. And Emma's in New York City with Henry with no memories at all, and Hook knocks on her door and decides that the best way to jog her memory is to try and kiss her, which, you know, didn't end so well. Why not? Yeah. Hey, you know, true love's kiss and all. So there was that. And so that's kind of where it ends. Like, literally, that's where it ends. And we're all kind of like, what just happened? So as far as we know, everyone's back in the Enchanted Forest. Emma and Henry are in New York, and that's kind of where it stands at the moment, which was kind of crazy. It was such an intense mid-season finale. It felt like a season finale. So let's just start talking about some of the news, because there are a lot of new characters that are going to be kind of emerging in this new setup where we have a set in the Enchanted Forest and a set in you know, Emma's in New York City. So some of the biggest casting news, I think, is the second half of the season is kind of going to have a new villain. And it's going to be the lovely Wicked Witch of the West. And we all kind of knew that beforehand, but what do you guys think? Because we've seen like some images and things of her. Like, are you excited about the Wicked Witch of the West and about this whole kind of Oz, like, storyline coming into it?
Definitely. I think that this, you know, what they're doing right now is so exciting because they're opening up this world so much, and there's so much potential here and so many different directions to go in that you kind of don't know what's going to happen, which of course is always exciting, but just the potential for everything that is going on and that exists in the world of this show is got me really, really excited to just keep watching, which is always a good thing when you hit, you know, like season three and you're kind of looking to season four and beyond. Things can kind of start feeling stagnant, and they just put everything, you know, everything is kind of on its head now, and we have no idea what's going on. And to throw in the Wicked Witch of the West now, I think is really cool. And I'm really excited to find out what relationship she has with Regina, because obviously Regina is or was a big baddie for quite a while. And I have a feeling these two have quite the history. So I'm really excited to see that.
Yeah, I'm really excited too. I'm kind of excited to see Regina actually be on the same side as the Charmings and everybody else. Like, she's hopefully going to be able to be with them against somebody else. And I feel like that's something that's been kind of lacking. She's always been kind of wavering back and forth. And with the, you know, the Peter Pan stuff last season, we got a touch of it. But even then, she was deciding between the Charmings or Rumpelstiltskin because he was doing his own thing. So I'm hoping that we'll finally get them, like, on the same side. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, I think so, too. And it would be just, I think it would be good for everyone to see Regina on the side of good and consistently on the side of good with one common enemy that they can all, like, it, like you said, it did start with Peter Pan, but I think this is like a whole new level. So yeah. I'm super excited. Another casting that came up recently was that they've cast Glinda, which is, of course, the nemesis of the Wicked Witch of the West in most traditional Oz stories. So for the casting call, it said that Glinda is elegant, warm, benevolent, clever, and shrewd. There are also hints that she has been living in isolation for quite some time, but she still holds her optimism above her loneliness. So what do you guys think? Is that like a, that's not a typical Glinda kind of storyline, but I see how they could work that in with what they've got going on already.
Yeah, I'm really interested in what her personality is going to be like, because to me, putting like elegant and warm next to shrewd is kind of, I mean, they don't necessarily go together. They're not necessarily opposites, but I'm really interested to see what kind of spin they put on her. And, you know, it's great that she has the optimism and stuff, but I really hope it's not like Mary Margaret, Snow White kind of optimism where we kind of get annoyed with that sometimes. So I'm interested to see if maybe they'll go down not a darker path, but maybe a little less bubbly than Mary Margaret.
Well, I'm wondering about the isolation. Like, was she trapped somewhere during the whole curse thing? Because we know that, like, they're going to, you know, we're going to be seeing them in the Enchanted Forest or whatnot now. So I'm wondering if maybe she was somehow separated from, like, the okay parts of the Enchanted Forest. And so she was all on her own or something. It makes me wonder if that has something to do with it.
Maybe. I mean, it also could be that, you know, the Wicked Witch of the West had something to do with it. True. If Regina's the most powerful in, like, the land, and Regina's gone, and Maleficent was gone as well, then what are the possibilities that the Wicked Witch stepped in and kind of took over?
True, true.
So there's always that kind of thing behind it, too. So I'm really interested in this Glinda aspect, and or Glinda. I always say Glinda because of the musical. but Glinda. And an interesting comment I saw someone make was that the picture of the girl, Sunny Mayberry, is playing Glinda. And the picture of her, she does resemble Jennifer Morrison a little bit. So somebody made that comment in the comment section of the post. And I was like, oh, yeah, she kind of does. So it's kind of interesting that they've picked someone that looks a little bit like Jennifer Morrison as well.
I did not realize that until you just said that, and I'm looking at the picture again. I'm like, wow. Because when I first saw her, I thought she looked a lot like the one, I forget her name now, who's playing the Red Queen.
Yeah. I can't.
That's what I thought at first.
Is it Emma Rigsby?
Yes. Yes, yes. But either way, I think she looks great for the part, you know, blonde and blue-eyed and very pretty, and it just kind of like screams Glinda to me.
Yes, yes, it does. All right, so moving on, another casting for this, the second half of the season, is Rapunzel. And Rapunzel, they cast Alexandra Metz, and we got a first image of her, which was really, really cool. And I know some people were concerned that she wasn't your traditional Rapunzel, but I think she looks awesome. What do you guys think?
Oh, man, she looks so cool. I am so excited for this. I'm glad they're not going the traditional route. And, you know, why would they have to? That doesn't have anything to do with her story, you know, what she looks like or whatever. And I think that it's going to be really interesting to see what she does with all that hair, because there's a picture here and she, her braid is long, man. Holy cow.
Yeah, I saw that there were a lot of people kind of like disturbed that like it's not blonde hair and blah blah blah. It's like that doesn't really matter. The biggest part about Rapunzel is that she has really long hair and that she can toss it out of the tower. So I'm really excited about this too. I'm glad they went non-traditional and just changed it up because we really need that on the show too. So
exactly. And so with the first image, there were also some details from Kitsis and Horowitz, and they say, we went a little bit darker and freakier, a little more horror story in the vein of The Grudge. There will be two visitors to the tower that we know of. Prince Charming will make a climb, followed by a mysterious hooded figure. So what do you get, like, I'm sorry, The Grudge?
Yeah, that's what really popped out at me, too. I'm like, Rapunzel and The Grudge, not two things I would put together, but I'm really excited to see where they go with this.
Yeah, horror story vein. Like, I don't know. Like, it's all kinds of, like, does she get somehow possessed or something? Isn't that, like, what The Grudge had in it? Wasn't there, like, a little creepy possession thing?
Yeah, I haven't seen The Grudge, but that freaks me out.
Yeah, it just sounds creepy. Just that description alone. So who do you think the second person to climb the tower is? It's a mysterious hooded figure.
Robin Hood.
Right.
That's what I was thinking too. But wouldn't that just be so eat? Like, come on, that's a giveaway. So I have a feeling it's something like different that we're probably really missing. But yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if Red came back?
Aw,
Red.
Because she would have a hood, kind of, maybe.
Yeah.
That'd be fun, but that would I doubt be it.
Awesome.
Oh, the good old days when all of our characters were actually on the show. All right, and then the next casting has to do with a character we already have, which is Prince Leopold, but this is the younger version of Prince Leopold, because he will be heavily featured in a flashback that's set to take place in the 18th episode. It's called Bleeding Through, and it's going to be heavy Korra flashback, so we will get more Regina backstory. So in that case, Rose McGowan is also reprising her role as Korra, which is awesome, because I loved her as Korra. Like, I thought she was so, so good. So I'm really excited that she's coming back. And I'm excited that we get a young Prince Leopold to kind of see how it all balances out in the end. He's Snow's father. So I wonder if we're going to get more flashback with Snow's mother, too. Remember when we saw in The Miller's Daughter how mean her mother was to Korra? I wonder if we're going to get more of that now with Leopold being involved.
Yeah, it would definitely be interesting to see. Like, anything involving the Korra and Snow's mother backstory, I would love to see more of that, because it was definitely weird.
It was really weird and kind of intense, and, like, you know that there's so much more there. I mean, clearly Korra went out of her way to kill her, so she really harbored some feelings there.
Yeah.
So I would love to see what that is. And the interesting part is, this is another Lost alum who's going to be filling in the role, and it's going to be Eric Lang. So he will be taking up the role of Prince Leopold in that. So I'm kind of excited to see. And that's kind of towards the end. It's number 18, so it's like midway through the second half. So hopefully we get some really cool information out of that.
I'm just really excited for more Rose McGowan, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, me too. Because, come like, on now.
Yeah. Good on this guy for getting Prince Leopold, but just give me young Korra, because that was just, you know, they do such a good job of taking these characters that at first we really hate. Like, I mean, Korra, it's really hard to find sympathy with her. And giving us these backstories, we're like, wow, she's, you know, an actual human being. So anytime we get more insight into characters like that, especially in relation to Regina, whose story is really back and forth all the time and very intricate and interesting, that gets me really excited.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if it'll give us more insight into, like, Regina's origin stories as well, the more we get to see this young Korra and how she develops, which would be nice. I always like a little more in Regina as well. All right, so I think some of the biggest news that came out during this break was that someone will die before season 4, and that every series regular is a possibility, except for Robert Carlyle. Because, you know, he's already dead, supposedly.
question mark?
And it says there's always the possibility for Carlisle to return to the show in some capacity. So that narrows down the pool of regulars, though, you guys. Like, that's pretty intense. Thinking that one of our, like, beloved characters could be gone for good. What do you guys think about that? Like, I am not okay with this.
Well, I know when we first heard this news, I had, like, I think 3 guesses. One that I really thought it was going to be that now I can't even imagine it happening. Like, now I'm just thinking about it and I'm like, that couldn't be it. It couldn't be. So, I mean, it's definitely, it's going to toss everything up in the air.
It's going to be painful. So, like, our series regulars are essentially Neil, Hook, Charming, the Evil Queen, Snow White, Henry, and Emma. So those would be, as of this point in time, our series regulars. So thinking about any one of those going kind of just alters the whole story.
Yeah.
In so many ways. And what does that do? Because in the end, I don't ever think it's going to be Emma. Because the story is really hers to tell in a lot of ways. So I don't think it's going to be her. But any one of those losses changes who Emma is drastically.
Yeah, and I feel like this is so stressful because I'm going through this with Teen Wolf right now, too, because they're like, yeah, somebody, you know, really important is going to die. And I'm like, dude, don't do this to me on another show, too. I can't handle it. But I think that you're absolutely right that Emma, you know, it is her story. Like, for them to kill her off would be, I don't even know how they would do that. It would be really interesting just from the standpoint of a really good twist, but I don't see it happening. And even like Charming and Snow White are so important to the story, and they're Charming and Snow White. Like, how do you kill off those two? It just doesn't really make sense to me. Regina, I think, has a lot more story to tell. And Henry, you know, that would be so tragic to see him go. So really the only two that I see are kind of like possible for the chopping block would be Hook and Neil, and that would sort of solve our little issue with the love triangle as well. So I have a feeling it might be one of them, which makes me really sad because I really like both of them.
Yeah, as far as like my guesses go, I really think it's I don't want to say it because it's like the minute you say it, it becomes real. No, like I think Neil is a very big possibility. I don't like it because I really like Michael Raymond James and I love Balefire and all of his story. But I think it's a real possibility. They just signed Hook on as a series regular this year. So to cut him out of the story before we really get, you know, his full backstory and everything seems like it would be a shame. The only other person that I'm really considering now would be Henry. If they killed off Henry, it would affect every character. Like, if they killed off Hook, it wouldn't emotionally affect, like, Snow and Charming as much as if Henry were to die. That would affect every single character massively.
I almost feel like that's on the same level as killing off Emma, though, because really the story centers around the two of them and their relationship, and like other people are brought in as a consequence of that. But that's why Emma first went to Storybrooke, and that's why she stayed. And really, if you kill off him, I feel like everybody else is just gonna go berserk. And I don't know if I really see that happening.
I don't know. I thought they made Hook a series regular right after he initially started last spring.
Oh, was he?
I think so. Yeah, no, just because I know someone will bring it up. But I'm pretty sure they almost instantaneously he was a series regular.
Okay.
Yeah. But in general, I don't know. Because here's the other thing. They could just be winding us up because it says someone will die before season 4. The creators mentioned that every series regular is a possibility. It doesn't mean that one of them will die. So you have to read very carefully. So they're like winding everybody up and it's just going to be like, you know, the Wicked Witch of the West or something. I don't know. So just before we go chopping off everybody we love, just keep in mind that it may not be one of them, although it very well could be.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. But it's such a tough balance. So we had a poll with our with the article that we had put up, and 48% of you thought it would be Neil. That's pretty intense.
Yeah, again, I'm not surprised, though. I feel like at this point we've told so much of Bill Fire's backstory, and as far as we know, Rumpelstiltskin is gone and his mom is gone. So, I mean, a lot of his story has been told, which is why I think people consider that a possibility.
Right, and his story has been so kind of, like, in and out of the whole storyline. It's there, but it's not as consistent, I think, as some of the other ones. Mm-hmm. I think even Hook was more consistent with the group than Neil was, unfortunately. And I think that maybe affects how people see him in the grand picture of things.
Agreed. Yeah.
So, but interestingly, Hook was second, but he only had 27%. So he had, you know, just under half of what Neil had for votes. So I don't know. I don't know which way that's going to go. It's so hard because I love them all and I want them all to stay. Mm-hmm. I'm such a baby. I'm like, I want them all. So I guess only time will tell. And we don't know what episode is coming in. We don't know. There are no other hints whatsoever, except that this will happen before the end of the season. So it could be at any given time, which is interesting. So we just have to keep our eyes open as the storylines progress forward.
And how many episodes do we have left? 11? Like, it caught in the middle, right?
It was 11 and 11, yeah.
Okay.
So there's 22 episodes for the year, so, and they split them evenly, and they run straight through. So we'll have 11 weeks now of Once Upon a Time.
Oh, good. I hate it when they take breaks. It's so stressful.
I know. Yeah. I think that's why there was such a big break between December and now, because with the Olympics and everything else, they just said, no, let's run it straight through so people don't get lost in the storyline. Because last year there were so many breaks that it was really like you would get one episode, you'd have 2 weeks, you'd get two episodes and you'd have 3 weeks. Like, it was really hard to really get invested because it was so stilted in how it was told, because you were missing all this time. So yeah. I think it's really cool that they've done it this way. And even though we had a big break in the middle, we'll get them all together, which is really nice.
Yeah, they're doing that with S.H.I.E.L.D. right now, where it's like, we get an episode, 2 weeks off, we get another episode, another 2 weeks off, and it's like, I don't even remember what's going on by this point. Yeah. So I like that. It's hard to wait this long, but at the same time, yeah, getting that 11 straight weeks is just really helpful in terms of remembering all the details.
Exactly. All right, so let's talk about maybe some of our predictions for what's going to happen in this second half of the year. Because we're left with a big void of everyone's disjointed in different places, and we don't really know what's happening into whom. So, I mean, the only thing we do know is that Hook somehow found his way back to Emma in all the mystery of mysteries, even though Regina said it wasn't possible. Hook made it happen. So what do you guys think? What are some of your predictions for the upcoming season?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's so interesting that he came back. That was such a surprise at the end of that episode. But it also makes me wonder, like, why him? Why not Neil? You know, or why not Snow White? Like, obviously, Hook said that something very bad was going on, but it makes me wonder why it was him specifically that was either sent or was the one to get away and to go find Emma. That's kind of like my big question right now, and I wonder if that could be any sort of clue as to what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of love that it was Hook, though, because he's always so determined with Emma, especially in those last few episodes. He was very determined about how he felt about her, how he was going to change her mind, and how they were going to get to be happy. So I think Hook carried that determination with him. And he wasn't going to give any of it up. He wasn't willing to give Emma up anymore. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I've always kind of wondered where Hook originated from. Because, like, we saw him with his brother on the ship and the whole Pegasus thing. But they appeared to be, like, British soldiers, which would mean he could have some agency in the real world as opposed to just in the Enchanted Forest. So there's a part of me that wonders where exactly the line is between where he belongs, where he came from, and where, you know, he actually lives now, or all of that. So I wondered if maybe something in there allows him to return to Storybrooke, or to the real world, when the rest of them are still stuck in the Enchanted Forest.
That's a really good point. I didn't even think about that.
It seems, we know why Neil can't now, because he originated in the Enchanted Forest, but we still don't really know how Hook ended up there. So that's the only reason for me that I think he can make it back and forth, but I'm sure they'll explain it at some point.
Yeah, I would be really curious, because we don't have a ton of his backstory. We just know why he became the way he did, really. Mm-hmm. You know, that was about it. So I don't know. And I guess I have a lot of questions about the people that were left behind in the Enchanted Forest. And now we have these, you know, the others returning to the Enchanted Forest. How does that play out? How does that work? Do you know what I mean? And does Regina get a second chance at love? Because,
I
you know,
hope so.
She kind of blew off her man in the first, because of fear the first time. So how does that work? What can she, you know, is she gonna run into him or not? Because I think that would be kind of cool for her.
Yeah, I'm also really, really anxious to find out how they're gonna twist Glinda and the Wicked Witch. Like, they're not just gonna play it straight, they're gonna twist it somehow, and I'm really interested to see how they do that.
Yeah, because clearly from the descriptions we have, they're not what they seem. So I'm kind of excited about all of that, because I love The Wizard of Oz. I absolutely love it. So in any version of its telling, I always just think it lends itself to so much and that it's so cool. So I can't wait to see how that plays into the rest of the fairy tales that we already kind of have out there in that world, which are so, you know, so well crafted, and just to see them kind of seamlessly flow into each other and how they make the connections. That's one of my favorite parts about this show, is that how they take one simple fairy tale that you think you know and kind of turn it on its head and connect it to this other storyline that you never thought could happen. And then there it is, and it's perfect. So I'm really excited about that.
I can't wait to see Emma meet the Wicked Witch of the West, because she's always like, oh my God, like, she never really knows what to say when she's surrounded by all these fairy tale creatures. So that's going to be pretty interesting.
And she's green.
Yeah.
So Emma meeting her is going to be awesome.
Yeah, she's legit different from any other fairy tale creature she has met thus far. So that should be really cool. And yeah, I don't know. I'm really excited about it. So I'm hoping really good things happen. I'm excited about the Korra storyline and to see what we get out of that, and what I feel like that's going to play a pretty significant role in whatever happens towards the end of the season, because it's only 3 episodes shy or 4 episodes shy of the finale. So typically that has a, you know, those episodes toward the end have a lot of weight and bearing on what the finale will look like. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of role that plays into it as well.
I want to know, too, how Emma and Henry are going to get their regular memories back, and what sort of effect it'll have on them to realize that, not that they were lied to, because they knew what was going to happen before it actually happened, but just the fact that it's got to be confusing to kind of have this one set of memories that you remember, you know, Henry growing up with you and living in New York City and all of that, and then kind of coming back to the realization that that's not the true story. And I wonder if that's going to affect, you know, in particular, Henry's relationship with Regina, or, you know, Emma's relationship with just about anybody else as well.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is how are they going to, like, bring them back? Like, how do they, can they go back to the Enchanted Forest? Is Hook now just stuck here in his pirate getup? Like, what's the deal? So, yeah, I think that's a big question that needs to be resolved pretty quickly in order for the show to move forward. Okay, so do you guys have anything else for Once Upon a Time that we want to talk about? Well, let's talk a little bit about Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, which also comes back. I think it comes back Thursday. Does it come back on Thursday? Do you guys know?
I believe so.
Yeah. So when we left Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. The Red Queen finally caught up with the Knave and Cyrus and Alice. And it was interesting because the Knave and Alice were together and the Red Queen and Cyrus were together. And so the Knave and Alice saved Rabbit's family and kind of got him out of that really horrible situation that he was stuck in with Jafar. And with the Red Queen as well. So they kind of got him out of that, got him his family back. And they went to, Alice went to her place that Cyrus had built her that would always be their home, but it was hidden so she would always be safe. And while there, Cyrus and the Red Queen show up and Alice is ready to chop someone's head off. But the Red Queen says, no, I can help you. We can make this work. In the meantime, Jafar has realized that the Red Queen has crossed him. Basically because she left a Tweedle's head in a box for him. Because he was spying on the Red Queen for Jafar and she was having none of that. And so what Jafar does is he finds some hair of the Red Queen's and uses it to create a spell, which is going, it's a big storm. It looks basically like the purple smoke monster, but not purple. At least we're consistent. And that's coming to the Red Queen, but she's with everyone, so that creates an issue. So yeah, so the Red Queen demands that they all escape Wonderland through a rabbit hole as the storm is quickly approaching. And the Red Queen basically has to admit to Will that there's only one thing that she's ever wanted back. There was one mistake that she had and she wants to fix it, and that she would give up everything to have Will back, which is kind of a pretty intense moment because all along you're not really sure what's going on with the Red Queen. Like, she clearly is, you know, got a game plan, but you don't know what her end game is. And now, you know, all along it was really Will. As the storm is approaching, a lightning strike is coming at the Red Queen. She holds out the lamp and it repels the lightning strike, but the lightning strike hits Will in the chest, which means it's basically going to kill him. Immediately, Will falls to the ground and Alice does too because of the terms of the first wish. So if Will dies, Alice will die. So Cyrus tries to force Alice to use her last wish, but it is Will's wish that was promised to him. He uses it to wish an end to Alice's suffering. So by doing that, Alice is saved, but when Alice wakes up, Will is nowhere to be found. He's completely gone. So, because he made that wish so broad when he did it, Will is now the genie in the lamp. And he's floating down a river in the lamp.
I still think that was the poorest choice of words to use on the face of the planet to end her suffering. Like, that could have been taken so many ways. Like,
I know. Oh,
Alice is dead now. Story's over.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, really? That's what you've got? Come on, buddy. So now he is bound to be the genie. And that's kind of where we were left off. Which means Jafar will still be looking for him because he's now the genie of the lamp and Jafar still needs the lamp. So, I don't know. It's kind of crazy, and it's been so long since we've seen this that, do you guys have any thoughts about what to expect when this comes back? Like, I don't...
As we all love Will and love him so, so, so much, I'm worried about what this means for his character and where he exactly is going on this river, so... Yeah, it should be intriguing to find out where they take this story next.
Yeah, I think there are lots of places it could go. I hope it gets a little bit better in its storytelling. I don't know if the first half of the season, if it really kind of found its legs. Like, I felt like it was a little all over the place. So I'm hoping it finds a stronger balance as it moves forward.
And maybe having Cyrus and Alice in the same place, maybe that will help the story. Because it's no longer just her trying to get to her love. Like, hopefully now that they're together and Will is separated, maybe them working together will give the story more of a base to work from.
That's what I'm hoping for, too. Because although I have liked Wonderland up until this point, I think it has a lot of potential. It was kind of annoying that, you know, all the focus was really on Alice finding Cyrus, which is fine, but there wasn't a whole lot else going on. And I think that now that they found each other halfway through the season, instead of it being like the season finale, it does open the show up for a lot more possibility. And I think that, you know, we all do love the Knave. And I think with maybe the storyline focusing on him a little bit more, on getting rescued and him maybe trying to figure out how to use his powers and his complicated relationship with the Queen, it's going to be a lot more interesting.
I hope so. We do have the episode 9 and episode 10 synopsis were released. So episode 9 is Nothing to Fear, and the Knave is released from the bottle by the Lizard, and she is given the opportunity to make her dreams come true with three wishes. Cyrus and a reluctant Alice partner with the Red Queen to find and rescue the Knave, while the Red Queen is captured by peasants who want payback for her cruel reign. Meanwhile, Jafar is taken over the Red Queen's castle and learns of a fearful creature called the Jabberwocky, who he plans to ally himself with. Didn't he already know about the Jabberwocky? Or did he, what creature did he use on Alice already?
That was the
Bandersnatch.
Yeah, yes. I was okay. The Snuffleupagus. Like, no, that's not right.
No, yeah, that's not it.
So, I mean, that has some potential in it. You know, I almost feel like the less Jafar, the better. Is that wrong? But I feel like Jafar's too much.
Yeah.
I think when you use him in small doses, he's most effective because he's really creepy and he's a really great, like, overall huge baddie. But we don't need him in every minute of every episode. Just his power looming in the distance and being, you know, this thing that they have to work against is enough. Like, you don't need him to be there and giving you menacing glares every 30 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a really good point. Like, him from afar is, it's really scary, actually. He's a very intelligent villain, which I always like seeing in television shows. But when you kind of get him up close and in your face all the time, he's a little over the top. And with a setting like Wonderland, I don't really think you need any more of that because the whole world is very bizarre and just adding to that is unnecessary. But I'm really excited about the Red Queen and seeing her kind of being captured by peasants. That's interesting. I know I'm the only one here who likes the Red Queen, but that's okay. I really want to see where she goes now and if she kind of becomes a little more humble, because I think she could definitely use that.
I liked her much more when she was Anastasia than when she's the Red Queen. So if we can kind of get her back on that path when she was Anastasia, I would enjoy her more.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the second episode 10, the synopsis for this is called Dirty Little Secrets. In flashback, Cyrus's actions lead to a fateful day that leaves his mother near death, resulting in a decision that comes with a binding price he and his brothers have to pay. Meanwhile, after banding together, Alice, Cyrus, the Knave, and the Red Queen split up into two groups that leaves the Knave and the Red Queen face-to-face with the fearful Jabberwocky, and Cyrus's guilt about his past tests his relationship with Alice. So, that's kind of interesting. So are they saying that Cyrus did something which resulted in he and his brothers becoming genies?
Hmm. That's interesting. I know, I don't think it was in the last episode we saw. I don't remember which one it is. But when he was talking about his mother and everything that was happening around that, and what led to him being a genie, we were all really interested in that and really wanted to know, like, who his mother was and what the circumstances were. So I'm really excited that they're going to be exploring this.
Well, and in true Once Upon a Time fashion, I'm thinking of fairy tales with brothers, and I'm like, who could he be? Like, now that we know that genies don't necessarily have to be, like, Aladdin kind of genies, like, they can be, you know, Will Scarlet, who takes his place and becomes a genie, you know, like, that type of thing is a possibility. So now it has me thinking, like, is this possibly a tie-in to something else? Is there a fairy tale with brothers in our future that we're not thinking of?
That would be super cool. And again, it would help build that storyline that I feel like Once Upon a Time does so well. And I don't feel like Wonderland has done it as well. So it would be cool if they could pull that in somehow.
Yeah. I agree.
Here's to hoping. So do you guys have any other thoughts about Once Upon a Time in Wonderland and what might be coming for the rest of the season for that?
Can we get the Mad Hatter?
Everybody wants the Mad Hatter. Everybody.
Yes.
But I think he's kind of off the table right now because he's kind of a big movie star.
Yeah, he's like, off playing the Winter Soldier.
I know. I'm so excited about
Me
that.
Me too.
Oh my gosh, yes.
That cannot come quick enough.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so I would love to have Hatter return because he's just so brilliant, but I'm not really sure it's set for his busy schedule, unfortunately. So yeah, I don't know. Will we get Aladdin? You know, is that a possibility? Will we get Jasmine? Because we have the Sultan.
That would be so, so cool.
What are we missing from that fairy tale as well? You know, it'll be interesting to see what else comes up and how this ends up playing out and if it can kind of turn itself around, because I think it had a really rough first 8 episodes. You know, it wasn't consistent or as consistent as Once Upon a Time was when it started. So we shall see. So that wraps up our news discussion on Once Upon a Time and Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. We will be back weekly once the shows kick in next week. So starting next Monday, actually probably Monday, we will have a new episode of Onceable every week until the end of the season. So as always, you can leave your comments on the episode and we will include them. We love listener feedback. It's always fun to hear everyone else's theories as well. So thank you guys for listening. Until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Kristen.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye. Bye.